you love good music that stirs your soul, you've come to the right place. We call this place Respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. This is DJ Rick, bringing you just a little bit of my favorite soul, funk, and R&B music. I'm glad you can join me. One of my hopes for my radio show, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, is to give respect to the artists who actually gave us the wonderful world of soul music. This show is called Covers of Soul Artists. It was customary in the music business to borrow or steal from another artist. Elvis Presley took Hound Dog from Big Mama Thornton and had a huge hit. Pat Boone covered Little Richard's Wild Tutti Frutti and had a hit with it, although the tame version he recorded is hardly the same song. There are hundreds of other examples. I don't intend to criticize. I may later put together a program about soul artists who had hits with their own covers of songs from white artists. Many of the soul songs in this program have been creatively and artistically covered, and I like them a great deal. But I do think that there should be some appreciation for the original soul versions and the artists who first recorded these songs. Too often they have been overlooked or forgotten.
Give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight, fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Listen to me, baby, hear every word I say. No one can love you the way I do, 'cause they don't. Give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight, fever in the morning and fever all through the night. Bless my soul, I love you. Take this heart away, take these arms I'll never use, and just believe. Say you give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight, fever in the morning and fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night, my eyes light up when you call my name. I know you're gonna treat me right. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight, fever in the morning and fever all through the night.
That was the incomparable Little Willie John singing the catchy song Fever from 1956, which was written by Otis Blackwell, also known as John Davenport, and Eddie Cooley. That was the incomparable Little Willie John singing the catchy song Fever from 1956, written by Otis Blackwell, a.k.a. John Davenport, and Eddie Cooley. Fever was covered by Peggy Lee in 1968 and by Elvis Presley in 1960 and was a success for both. I found online an excellent research paper about the song Fever by Yvonne Santiago Mercado, which points out that Peggy Lee modified the song in several ways, wrote additional lyrics for which she did not claim credit, and helped popularize the song internationally while giving Little Willie John credit. But it is clear that Peggy Lee's version got the lion's share of the popularity. She was nominated for 3 Grammys, including Song of the Year, Record of the Year, and Female Vocal Performance of the Year in 1959 for her cover. That was Maurice Williams and the Zodiacs with the doo-wop classic Stay. It was written by Maurice Williams in 1953 when he was 15 years old. He wrote it after trying to convince his date not to go home to meet a 10 o'clock deadline set by her mother. The song wasn't recorded until 1960 and was not a hit at first. It is only 1 minute and 50 seconds long. But over time it found an audience and it ended up at number one in the fall of 1960 and since then has been covered many times. In 1963, it was covered by the Hollies, who took it to number four in the UK. The Dave Clark Five and the Four Seasons covered it in 1964, and both had hits. In 1968, it was covered by Jan and Dean. Jackson Browne combined his song, The Loadout, with Stay, and it again returned to the top 20 as a single off his most popular and much-loved album, Running on Empty, in 1977. Running on Empty was a number one album and went seven times platinum. Jackson Browne was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Still other covers were done by Bruce Springsteen, Cyndi Lauper, and many others. In all, over 10 million copies of this song have been sold by various artists to date. I hope Maurice Williams got paid, but most soul artists in history have not been adequately compensated for their creativity. Stay was named the greatest really short rock song of all time by DigitalDream.com. That was the Isley Brothers' version of Twist and Shout, recorded in New York in 1962. Ronald Isley was the lead vocalist, and his brothers O'Kelly Isley and Rudolph Isley did the backing vocals. The track included a stellar lineup of session musicians, including Eric Gale, Cornell Dupree, Chuck Rainey, and King Curtis. All of these musicians have recorded thousands of sessions and have been on some of the biggest selling records with top artists. For example, Eric Gale appeared on over 500 albums, including records by Aretha Franklin, Paul Simon, Quincy Jones, Bob Marley, Nina Simone, Peter Tosh, Van Morrison, Joe Cocker, and Billy Joel. It was the Isley Brothers' first top 40 record on both the pop and R&B charts. It was produced by Burt Burns, who also co-wrote the song with Phil Medley. Then, 1 year later, a little-known band from Liverpool, England, cut Twist and Shout as the 11th song recorded in one 10-hour day. The Beatles' single version of Twist and Shout sold over 1 million copies, and it would have been a number one hit, except the Beatles had another song topping the charts, a little song called Can't Buy Me Love. John Lennon shredded his vocal cords singing the song in the studio, and his voice was not the same for several months. I don't need to mention the level of success achieved by the Beatles, but you may remember this great song. Heard Cry Baby by Garnet Mims and the Enchanters. The song was written by Jerry Ragavoy and Burt Burns and recorded in New York in 1963. Garnet Mims is the vocalist on the exquisite track. He was one of the earliest of the true soul singers. He's been compared to soul giants Sam Cooke and Jackie Wilson, and many think that his career has been criminally underappreciated. The uncredited backing vocals were by the Gospel Heirs, comprised of Dionne Warwick, Dee Dee Warwick, and Estelle Brown. Cry Baby topped the R&B chart and went to number 4 on the pop chart and was awarded a gold record. It has been covered extensively over the years. Janis Joplin covered it beautifully, and it was a big part of her incredible live shows. I highly recommend you check out Janis's very cool live version of Cry Baby on YouTube, and you can easily see why she is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Cry Baby was released as a single and featured prominently on her album Pearl, which was posthumously released in 1971. Pearl was a number one album for 7 weeks and went 4 times platinum in the U.S. and in Canada. Now let's move over to Detroit, Hitsville, USA. That was Shorty Long with the original version of Devil with the Blue Dress On from 1964. Standing just a little over 5 feet tall, Frederick Earl Shorty Long was a prodigy. Even at an early age, he could play piano, organ, drums, guitar, trumpet, and harmonica, and was a virtuoso and funky singer. Despite his small stature, he could shout out a soul tune with the best of the big boys. But in 1966, Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels turned this funky grinder of a song, which they combined with a new arrangement of Little Richard's Good Golly Miss Molly, into a hell-bent, up-tempo rocker, which raced up the charts to number 4 on the pop charts. I love the cover, even more than the original, but still, give credit to Shorty Long, who's largely forgotten. Let's go south to New Orleans. That was Irma Thomas, the soul queen of New Orleans, singing Time Is On My Side. Her version was recorded and released first in 1964, but the Rolling Stones covered the song and released it a month after Irma Thomas's original. Their version is almost a note-for-note copy of Irma's version, including spoken word interjections in the chorus and a distinctive monologue. The Rolling Stones rode the song to their first top 10 hit in the U.S. after they performed it during their first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show. For many years, Irma refused to sing the song in concert because so many people thought that she was covering a Stones song rather than the other way around. Irma Thomas is not as well known as she should be because she has a voice which is variously frail or powerful and a style that is either sly or joyful and can sing a variety of songs very well. This is DJ Rick. You are listening to Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, on KVSH 101.9 FM LP, Vashon Island, Washington, and voiceofvashon.org. Let's go from New Orleans back to the Motor City for our next song.
Controls your very soul. I fool myself. another face I see. I'm hurting, downhearted, and worried, girl, 'cause that face doesn't belong to me. Oh, it's all over your face, the one's taking my place. Ooh, ooh, baby, I'm losing you. You try hard to hide the emptiness inside. Ooh, I can tell I'm losing you. Ooh,
losing you.
I don't wanna lose you.
You just heard The Temptations with I Know I'm Losing You from 1966. That classic song was written by Motown songwriters Norman Whitfield and Eddie Holland and road manager Cornelius Grant, who also played the rock-style guitar. It was a number one hit on the R&B charts and a top 10 hit on the pop charts. The raspy tenor lead voice is of the great David Ruffin, with backing vocals from Eddie Kendricks, Melvin Franklin, Paul Williams, and Otis Williams. The Temptations are credited by Rolling Stone magazine to be, quote, indisputably the greatest black vocal group of the modern era. There were many covers of the song, including two great versions. The first was by Rare Earth in 1970. Rare Earth's semi-psychedelic version is stretched out to almost 11 minutes long and has a very cool lead vocal by Pete Rivera, who also does some incredible drum work on the cut. And Rod Stewart sang I Know I'm Losing You on his 1971 album, Every Picture Tells a Story. That album featured all five members of the English band Faces, including Ronnie Wood, later a member of the Rolling Stones. The album version of I Know I'm Losing You is great rock music with terrific vocals and intense drumming. The album itself is considered one of the best rock and roll albums of all time and was a hit in the UK, USA, Australia, Canada, Holland, Italy, Spain, Sweden, and Norway. Both The Temptations and Rod Stewart are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Let's hear something from the great Sam and Dave.
Cold nights hot, hot winters go right.
That was the soul duo Sam and Dave with You Got Me Hummin' from Stax Records in Memphis. Written by the prolific songwriting team of Isaac Hayes and David Porter, it went to number 8 on the R&B chart in 1966. You Got Me Hummin' has been recovered at least 7 times, including 2 of note. In 1967, an unknown band called The Hassles covered You Got Me Hummin' on its debut album on United Artists. The Hassles included a piano player by the name of Billy Joel. The Hassles hardly sold any albums, but Billy Joel went on to sell pretty well, including 33 top 40 hits. He was nominated for 23 Grammy Awards, winning 6, and he sold over 150 million records. Billy Joel is one of the best-selling artists of all time and was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But the version I hum was by Cold Blood, featuring Lydia Pence from 1970. Their version of You Got Me Hummin' totally slayed me. I played the grooves off their first album and fell madly in love with a beautiful blonde woman who could sing like Janis Joplin. I will never forget seeing Cold Blood's live set at the Aquarius Tavern in the early 1970s. Opened in 1930, the huge venue known as Parker's Ballroom was located on Aurora Avenue North in what is now the city of Shoreline. According to HistoryLink.org, it survived the vicissitudes of changing times for over 80 years. In 1970, it changed its style and name to the Aquarius Tavern and became a black light and psychedelic light show type of place. I used my fake ID to get in. I remember being blown away by dancing to the driving beat and blaring horn section of Cold Blood, just a few feet away from the sexy singer Lydia Pence, who was wearing only a leather halter top and a short fringed leather skirt. This was not the type of thing an impressionable teenager from Bellevue will ever forget. You Got Me Hummin' brings that memory back for me every time. I would play it now if I could find that record. Sam and Dave are covered many times, including this fantastic next cut. That was Soul Man by Sam and Dave. It was the number one song in the U.S. in 1967. Sam and Dave won a Grammy Award for Best Performance by an R&B duo or group, and it was entered into the Grammy Hall of Fame. Their album, Soul Man, has been called one of the best soul music albums of all time. I know it's true. Soul Man was one of the first songs I played in the first program of RESPECT, and I think it stands the test of repeated plays over time. Soul Man has been covered many times. The Blues Brothers, that is, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd, performed the song on Saturday Night Live in November of 1978, and later released their version as a single. It reached the top 20. The Blues Brothers borrowed not only Sam and Dave's songs, but also much of their act. Dan Aykroyd had seen Sam and Dave back when he was a youngster in Toronto. And now for something completely different.
I would have given you all of my heart, but there's someone who's torn it apart, and he's taken almost all that I've got. But if you wanna try to love again, baby, I'll try to love again.
That was the very beautiful and talented P.P. Arnold singing the first recorded version of The First Cut is the Deepest from 1967. P.P. Arnold was born Patricia Ann Cole in Los Angeles. She sang gospel music as a child and later got a chance to join the Ike and Tina Turner Review as one of the Ikeettes. The tour took them to London, where she met Mick Jagger and the rest of the Rolling Stones. Mick convinced her to stay in London, and she recorded for the Immediate label, owned by Mick's manager, Andrew Lug Oldham. She was the only black female on the label, which was dominated by English artists including the Small Faces, Steve Marriott, Ronnie Wood, and Rod Stewart, and also Fleetwood Mac. The First Cut is the Deepest was written by a young songwriter who then called himself Cat Stevens. He sold her the song for a mere £30 sterling. It charted only in England, going to number 18 on the UK pop chart in 1967. Cat Stevens later recorded the song, but did not release it as a single because he felt that P.P. Arnold's version was better. I agree. P.P. Arnold had other hits in England and was also successful on stage in various musicals. Still, she's not widely remembered, at least in the U.S. 10 years later, Rod Stewart had a bigger hit with the song in 1977. Rod Stewart's version went to number one and stayed there for 4 weeks. The song propelled his album, A Night on the Town, to a number two on the U.S. Albums Chart and number one on the U.K. Albums Chart. Rod Stewart is also in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And many people prefer Sheryl Crow's cover of The First Cut is the Deepest in 2003, which was nominated for a Grammy Award for Best Female Pop Vocal Performance and was one of her biggest selling songs. That was You've Made Me So Very Happy by Brenda Holloway from 1967. Brenda Holloway was a Motown artist, but she was dissatisfied because she felt that Berry Gordy was making her record, quote, Mary Wells' Leftovers. So with her sister Patrice Holloway, Brenda wrote this great song for herself. Recorded with some additional music from Frank Wilson and Berry Gordy, it was released shortly before she left Motown. It charted briefly and reached the top 40. The song featured the fantastic session musician Carol Kaye on bass. Carol Kaye's influential bass playing can be found on songs by artists including The Four Tops, The Beach Boys, Stevie Wonder, The Temptations, The Supremes, The Doors, and Isaac Hayes. The song was covered many times, but the cover version in 1969 by Blood, Sweat, and Tears was a smash hit. The song became one of the band's biggest hits, going to number two on the pop charts.
How sweet it is to be loved by you. Yes, baby. Ooh, how sweet it is to be loved by you. Ooh, baby, I needed the shelter of someone's arms, and there you were. I need
stop and thank you, baby. I want to stop and thank you, baby. Hey, now, how sweet it is to be loved by you. Oh, baby, baby, how sweet it is to be loved by you. Yes, it is. Close my eyes at night and wonder what would I be without you in my life. Everything was just a bore. All the things I did since I've done them before. But you brighten up all my day with a love so sweet in so many ways. I wanna stop and thank you, baby.
That was Marvin Gaye's original of How Sweet It Is to Be Loved by You. It was released in 1964. Featuring his relaxed voice, along with backing vocals by the Andantes, the song sold 900,000 copies. It peaked at number 6 on the pop chart. There is a version of this song on YouTube that strips away the instruments and allows you to hear only the a cappella vocals, and you can really tell about Marvin's relaxed, jazzy singing. There was only one take of his vocal part. He did it so beautifully the first time that there was no need for a second take. In 1966, the song was done as an instrumental by Junior Walker and the All-Stars, and it was again a great hit. It has also been covered by Jerry Garcia, Sissy Houston, Michael Bublé, Joan Osborne, Kenny Rogers, and Stevie Wonder. But the biggest hit version was the cover by James Taylor in 1975, when it went to number 5 on the pop chart. James Taylor's version is excellent and also features a fine sax solo by David Sanborn. Even Marvin Gaye expressed admiration for James Taylor's cover. The song has been included on many collections, including James Taylor's Greatest Hits album, which went 11 times platinum in the U.S., was certified diamond worldwide. Now consider something grittier.
I tell you.
That was Irma Franklin with the original version of Peace of My Heart. Irma was born 4 years before her famous sister Aretha and had signed a recording contract as far back as 1961. But her most famous and successful song was Peace of My Heart in 1967. The song allowed her to quit her corporate day job at IBM and go on tour to support it. She performed it at the famed Apollo Theater with the Supremes and Marvin Gaye. Her original was a top 10 R&B hit and won a Grammy nomination for her, but Irma had a string of bad luck. Although she continued to sing professionally, both as an individual recording artist and as a backing vocalist for others, including her sister Aretha and Bobby Blue Bland, in time she took a job with an organization that helped homeless children. She died of throat cancer in 2002. David Nathan of soulmusic.com wrote a tribute to Irma, saying that while she did not leave a massive legacy of recorded work, her tracks remain among the best recordings from 1967 and remind me that the Franklin family was blessed with more than one super soul sister. Now let's jump forward to 1972 for our next original. That was Work to Do by the Isley Brothers. The Isley Brothers recorded Work to Do in 1972. It was issued as a single on their 1972 album Brother, Brother, Brother. I remember the album, and I'm a big fan of the Isley Brothers, but in 1972, the song Work to Do hardly made a splash, stopping at number 11 R&B and number 51 on the pop chart. On the other hand, I do remember Work to Do by Average White Band 2 years later. Average White Band were musicians with a self-deprecating band name. Their own names were Scottish names, including Alan Gorey, Hamish Stewart, Ani McIntyre, Malcolm Duncan, and Robbie McIntosh. A lot of people didn't believe it, but this funky band was from Scotland, not Detroit or Cincinnati or Philly. Recorded in 1974, their second album simply was called AWB, and it topped both the R&B and pop charts in 1975. The All Music Guide to Soul states, "This album is full of treasures that weren't big hits but should have been, including a gutsy remake of the Isley Brothers' Work to Do. I still love the whole album. It was great party music at my old cinder block apartment in the U District, and it's still great party music now." The Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, said in 1968 that soul doesn't need to be defined because it's a feeling. This is DJ Rick, and you have been listening to Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, on KVSH-FM. Thanks for listening. Find out what it means to me.